Sorry.
We'll call the meeting to order. We have a roll call, please.
Righty. Sorry. Evan Markey.
Here.
Holly Swan.
Here.
Ann Dawson.
Here.
Patrick Riley. Greg Zonry.
Here.
All right. Today it looks like we are missing Susan Schrader, Samantha Lewis, Todd Green, Joanne Parsley, and the Bruce McGowan from Rock Creek Nation District.
Do we have a quorum?
Yes.
We'll go on to number two, business on the floor. Is there any public or SHAC members that want to have an opportunity to speak to items not on the agenda but are relevant to the SHAC? Seeing none, move on to item number three. Review and approval of the 325 to 2026 SHAC meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Sorry. Opposed? Motion carries. Move on to number four. Update on the status and anticipated timeline for the John for the Vina GSA plan periodic evaluation.
Let's stand up here so I can sneak it all of you. All right, good morning. I'm going to give you an update on a couple timelines and where things are at with periodic evaluations. So I just have a couple slides to help walk through this. But as you know, the periodic evaluation is focusing on responding to DWR's recommended corrective actions that they provided in the determination letter. And so Larry Walker Associates is the consultant on board doing that work under the grant funding. And they are currently drafting a couple of the sections of the periodic evaluation that then we'll be able to use as we kind of bring specific topics forward to you. So we expect these next few months, May to August, to be really key discussion and decision-making months, both here at the SHAC and at the board level. So buckle in, we're gonna go pretty quickly because this is due by January of 27. A couple of websites I want to point out. We've made a dedicated webpage on the Vina website for periodic evaluation. And so we've already begun to post things there, and that's where we will post materials for discussion and other important items. And then there's also this new, relatively new interactive map. So I just wanted to show this to you really quickly. Whoop. Here's the periodic evaluation page. We'll be updating this right now. It has a list of just background or new information that has come out of the data gaps work from the grant or other relevant reports and tech memos and documents. So if you're interested in just kind of like the body of work that is going to be kind of foundational for periodic evaluation conversations, they are posted here. And then I just mentioned the map. So here's the interactive map. This was created for Wyandotte Creek, but it's going to also include Vina. So there, we will be adding more layers for Vina shortly. It's not super built out right now, but this is just kind of what it looks like. It has a legend, but if you want to toggle layers on and off, you go here. And then these are all the possible layers that you can turn on or off. So here's like RMS wells or zones. You turn this little on, the eyeball turns things on or off. So you can kind of see that way. And like I said, there's mostly things on here for Wyandotte Creek, but we will soon be adding things specific to Vina. So this is also a tool that's available to you and to the public as we dive more into conversations about monitoring networks and some of those things. You can poke into it online here. So I don't know if that's actually coming through on the screen share, but
no, it's not.
Okay. But you all got the detail. So then I wanted to give you just a recap on where things are at in relation to what happened at the December joint board meeting. So you may recall that in the fall, we had a series of stakeholder meetings, domestic, agricultural, and environmental stakeholders. And then Becky and others reported out from those key themes to a meeting of the joint board. So there's two GSAs in the Sub-Basin, right? Rock Creek Reclamation District and Vina GSA. They met jointly in December. And the outcome was this direction. We had some other options for direction in the agenda, option one, two, three. They didn't give any of those. Instead, we said there's actually a lot of detail behind any of those options. Let's back up. And this was the direction that is recorded in those minutes. So I just copied it out of there. Today we're bringing forward response to the first two, which is the domestic well registry and mitigation information, and then the quantitative numbers behind wells at risk at MT. So I'll get into that more later. The third request was to create a matrix outlining DWR's mandated changes to the GSP, their recommended changes, stakeholder requests that could be modifications to the GSP. So we expect to do this kind of topic specific as we go along, because each of these topics kind of have their own pieces to it. So that is in the works. And then the fourth piece was bring back more information regarding the interconnected surface water networks and groundwater level monitoring networks. And so those are two specific topics that will come individually with more backup information and specific conversation. So that is where we are at in kind of responding and working on that direction. So here's an updated timeline. Your call in the fall, we kind of laid out this roadmap to get us to January 2027, which is when we need to submit the periodic evaluation to the Department of Water Resources. It's been kind of quiet in the winter. We've been really focused on Wyandotte Creek, getting that across the finish line. It had a grant deadline on March 31st, as did a couple of the main VINA projects. So from last meeting's presentations, you had recaps on those projects. So now with that work's done, we're really launching into these periodic evaluation topics. As I mentioned, over the next few months, we're going to bring forward to you and then the boards land subsidence, water quality, interconnected surface water, groundwater levels, interbasin coordination project, and we'll circle back to projects and management actions. We touched on that a bit last meeting. Our tentative topics for May would be land subsidence and providing an update on approach to interconnected surface water. And we would expect to have these be discussion action items, potential recommendations to the boards at each of these meetings. The goal would be to have a draft periodic evaluation by August or mid-August. And then it gets adopted in the fall and submitted. So recent clarification from DWR has been, of course, if you're amending the GSP, you adopt the new GSP, and that's a board action, adopting the GSP. Even with just the periodic evaluation, the Department of Water Resources wants to really have confidence that the boards are adopting any kind of change that's made in the periodic evaluation, but that is how the basin is intended to be managed, and the GSA boards are, in line with that, or that is a decision that they have made. And so, at least in other like Butte Sub-basin, the plan is to do a resolution, like a board resolution that would accompany the periodic evaluation. And that would be a board action as well. So either way, we could anticipate some sort of board action probably in November related to this work. Okay, so that's it. That's item four.
Okay, any questions? Okay. Public? All right, we'll move on to item number five, review of sustainable groundwater management grant-funded projects.
Okay, number five. So last meeting, you got a report out on the projects that have been completed. So I just wanted to give you a quick overview of where the whole grant project its situation is, right? You've seen this slide before. The green check boxes are projects that are done and completed. So last meeting, you heard about demand reduction strategies. You heard about the Lindo Channel project. You heard about the water supply piece of that. Bigger also includes recharge, and you heard about interbasin coordination. So ongoing is outreach grant administration. The whole thing ends in January. So what I just talked about, which is under number one, the periodic evaluation has a January completion date. The recharge feasibility study part of that one has a June completion date. So we expect to bring kind of a project recap to you in June, like we did with the other projects. And those final reports will be available at the end of June or early July. And the rest of these reports are available, but we are in the process of updating web pages and posting reports. So As you hopefully know, there is a project page that has been in existence for each of these components or studies. We're in the process of updating the web page, posting the report if it's available. Demand reduction is coming soon. Lindo Channel is now available on that website. With tight timelines, and these are feasibility studies, we didn't have public review on a draft report really for any of these reports. So we have created this comment form as folks are now digesting this large body of work that's out there in response to each of these projects. If you read it and have thoughts or ideas or concerns, we've created this comment form that is common to all of the projects, whether they were led by Butte County or the GSA or AGUVC. Wyandotte Creek is in here too. And so you can click on the form, select the report that you want to provide a comment on, and then provide your comments. There's no limit on comments. You can also send a letter or email to us, but we're going to use this as a repository, basically, so that as these projects continue to be talked about or brought forward for grant applications or implementation, we've captured and kind of kept track of any comments or concerns or ideas along the way. So I want to let you know about that and help others. You can help us let others know that this is available. Yeah.
I always get lost on the website. Can you give us a specific place to find all these reports and certainly the form?
So this presentation will be uploaded with your meeting materials and it has links in it, but we can send out
Can we find that in library? Where do we find that?
you find that where you find your meeting packets. So under SHAC, we'll put it there probably. But we can send an email to SHAC members with links.
That would be good.
Anyway, we'll do that. Okay.
Okay.
I think that's all I have.
Any other questions? Questions from the public? We'll move on to item number six. Consideration of a well mitigation program.
Hey. Okay, so as I mentioned, this is in response to board direction requesting more information on this topic. So we'll just dive right in. Do you still see the?
No.
Oh, it's because I.
You did some weird screen share.
I got it.
Still seeing comment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Better. Okay. So in your packet, you didn't have these slides in your packet. You have hard copies, I believe, but you had a memo that outlined all this information. So everything that I'm going to kind of walk through with you through these slides is in the staff memo and the attachments that you had in your board packet or in your SHAC packet. So the groundwater sustainability plan includes a well mitigation, domestic well mitigation management action. In December, as I mentioned earlier, the GSA boards directed staff to bring back information related to well registries and well mitigation and wanting to know what other subbasins have done. The SHAC at your meeting had talked about that as well. So just framing up today, the immediate question is not kind of getting into the criteria or what a program would look like, eligibility, any of that. I'm going to share with you what others have done with regards to some of those decisions. But today we're really wanting to say that the periodic evaluation is an opportunity to clarify the GSA's path forward with regards to a well mitigation program in terms of its scope and its schedule. And so that's kind of the focus of today's discussion and potential direction. As I mentioned, the board's direction was to bring back information about domestic well registry mitigation. And then the second piece, minimum threshold domestic well impact analysis, prepare a summary of the number of domestic wells impacted at MT levels using the GSP data set that was used in 2022 when the GSP was developed to set the MTs, and also using the 2025 refined data set of domestic wells. So in past meetings here, Ryan and LWA have shared what they've been doing with the well inventory work, right, to refine the well inventory. Weed out kind of duplicates on a single parcel, narrow in location, well locations. And so that's what this is about. Attachment A was in your packet and is the results of that work. And here's just the high level kind of results, right? So with the 2022 GSP data set, there was a total of 1,920 wells sustainably constructed post-1980 as defined in the GSP, treated as active. And then with the 2025 data refining data set, the total is 1,253. The wells estimated then with the current MTs in both cases, same MT, but different kind of set of wells, is about 462 above the MT with the 22 set and 400. So pretty similar order of magnitude, 400 plus wells. The percent changes obviously because the total change. If you assume kind of worst case scenario, you mitigate all those wells, full replacement, at $40,000 per well, that's a price tag of $16 to $18.5 million for well mitigation, right? So that's the response to just providing those numbers and what that cost could look like kind of under full mitigation. So we're not going to get into that, although Ryan is here, and if you have questions, we certainly can dive more into kind of where those numbers come from. But our focus is going to be more on the well mitigation program. Okay, so the Vineland GSP currently, as I mentioned, has a management action, right? Here's what it says. It has some following steps that are proposed: establish a voluntary domestic well registry. I don't know why words are being doubled on this. What is happening? Sorry about that. Compile well log screen depths and locations. So a lot of that work has been done, as I just mentioned, with the well inventory work by LWA to the extent that it can be with available information, right? Apart from a well registry, but with available information. Secure funding to improve, deepen, or replace select wells, and provide emergency response for homes with dry wells, including providing bottled water and potable water for sanitation. There's a priority given to disadvantaged communities. So those are the pieces that are currently in the GSP. That's how this management action is described. What's not defined, right, and hasn't been really discussed at length is eligibility criteria. How would you fund this program? The administrative process, implementation triggers, when would you develop this program? And kind of how would it work with staff or with support? So I will say that DWR's recommended corrective actions for VINA do not include any direction about a well mitigation program. It's come up, right, from stakeholders and local discussions. As we've talked about NTs and the sub-basin and how it's being managed. And I will say that our neighboring sub-basins, Corning and Coosa, who originally received an incomplete determination on their GSP because they do have undesirable results in some places. In that discussion with DWR to get to an approved plan, one of the things that was required of them was committing to developing and implementing a domestic well mitigation program. So they have done that, and you see Calusa and our neighboring sub-basins in that matrix. But we haven't had that. And so the paradigm, however, is this opportunity, as with all things in the plan, management actions and other projects, to say what's happening with this project or management action, what's the status, and do we want to specify, what the scope and path forward is. So that's today's conversation. So just to recap, as I mentioned, the October series of domestic, environmental, and agricultural stakeholder meetings, we asked specifically about folks' thoughts on domestic well mitigation program. And so these are some of the themes that came out of that. The detailed notes are in those meeting summaries from each of those individual meetings, but here's kind of the high level take home, right? There was consensus from the domestic well users for developing a mitigation program, support for more communication and notification of at-risk well owners, support for mitigation assistance for repair, deepening, and replacement, and the GSA should set aside funds to cover the costs of wells going dry. The agricultural users also discussed this and had support for protecting domestic wells, but wanted clarity on scope, funding, responsibilities of the mitigation program. How would it work? What's the economic impact of potential MT changes or a program? And there were comments about considering well eligibility based on age and requiring well registration, as has been done in other places. And then other SHAC discussion and other stakeholders also added in support for further exploration of options and understanding our neighbors, emphasized the need to avoid duplicating Butte County's short-term drought program. And so wanting to understand, what Butte County is doing in this space and not overlap. And the program should be informed by better well inventory data and also consider ag well data. So those are some of the things that we've heard to date. Again, a little bit more details in the staff report, but this is a discussion that's come up, as we've talked about different GSP topics. Okay, so what do other programs look like in your packet? Their attachment B, I think, is the table that kind of outlined a number of sub-basins that we looked at and provided a summary on. Overarching themes here. Examples are not all the same type of program. Some of them are adopted in place. Colusa, for example, has a pilot program in place. Others are MOUs. Most make this distinction between interim assistance, like bottled water, storage tanks, things like that, and long-term mitigation. Most narrow eligibility in some way, right? Whether it's related to well type, timing, age, income. This is, there's kind of a handful of categories that eligibility circles around. And then several rely on partner implementation other than the direct GSA for administration of the program itself. And our neighbors are doing that with North Valley Community Foundation is providing some of the administrative and implementation to the Colusa program as an example. So that eligibility piece is where most of the policy choices are, right? And we're not going to get into this today, but just to give an idea of kind of what the categories are and what others have done in each of these categories, right? Some related to well type and service, some are domestic wells only, other are all well types. Some include state small water systems or other drinking water serving wells. Others are a combination of ag and domestic wells. The Tehama program is all wells. All wells are eligible, ag and domestic. There's also decisions around applicant and the property status, right? Whether it's landowner or landowner requirements. Some require owner occupancy. Many of them require good standing with the GSA, right? Whether that's you're up to date with your permits, your fees, various ways that you would need to be complying with other rules that the GSA may have in place. Causation and timing often requires a linkage to groundwater decline, right? Whether it's in an area, it has to be in an area of overdraft or explicitly some of them cite subsidence where that's relevant. Some of them mention water quality. Some programs often cover impacts that occur after a specific date, and you'll see that on the next slide. And then age compliance and registry is another kind of category. So some cap eligibility by well age, others prorate reimbursement, permit compliance might be required, income thresholds or well registration might be part of the application and eligibility requirements, right? So many of these topics that have come up even in our discussions, right? They are the topics that these GSAs that have programs in place have made decisions about. So just as an example, again, for timing of impact, it varies these different programs from 2015 for COWIA to when the program was adopted in 2026 in Madera, right? So it's either like a time frame, I think probably 2015, because that's when SGMA was passed, my guess, or it's, we've adopted this program and now going forward, we're mitigating, these wells, anything going forward, not looking back, is eligible. On the age piece, that varies quite a bit too. Some of them are less than 25 years, 50 years. My understanding in talking to Justin and Tehama is that they will replace any well age, the borehole. But if it's less than 20, if it's more than 25 years old, they don't replace the pump and the equipment and all of that. So that's kind of interesting. So some sort of, prorated reimbursement or max eligibility. So $40,000. So ag well, domestic well, doesn't matter, but your max mitigation is $40,000. Income standing, some programs don't have any income thresholds. Some use the 80% of statewide median household income, and that's that DAC, disadvantaged community threshold. Some again have good standing requirements. Well registration is required in Kings and also in Tehama, but not everywhere, and permit compliance can also be required. So this just gives you an idea of even within these categories, there's a variety of choices that have been made by other programs across the state. Okay, so what tends to be similar, like I said, interim assistance, long-term assistance, like in terms of the type of assistance that's provided, it's pretty standard. Pump lowering, well deepening, replacement of wells, or system connection, right? That's like your universe of kind of long-term mitigation. Typical process is some sort of application process, typically some sort of in-the-field assessment of the well, verifying that it's dry and some assessment of maybe why it went dry, eligibility review, and then mitigation selection. You know, what are they actually eligible for with respect to what the mitigation program offers? What varies more is how the program is administered, the board role, appeal process, and then some of the funding mechanics. There's more variation there. Okay, so today, some program framing in terms of how might this be framed in the periodic evaluation. You could take a light touch and say very little, and just say, you know, it's a management action. The GSA will continue to consider developing a program as conditions warrant, right? Or we can be more specific. There's kind of two ideas about being more specific in terms of what type of program. Do you want to frame up more specifics about when, what those conditions that might warrant development are? So being more specific about what is the GSA going to track in terms of dry wells or conditions or trends that would warrant action or when this comes back to the board for action. So that's kind of your trigger-based standby framework. Identifying what to monitor, when staff returns to the board. There's some effort in defining these things. The GSA could just say that the GSA intends, or the PE could say that the GSA intends to monitor specific conditions, return for action if predefined triggers are reached, right? So this provides a little bit clearer path, but not a commitment to an immediate program. And then the other option would be commit to developing an immediate active program. And so you would work out the full draft program, working through these eligibility pieces, application steps, how would it work, what's the administration. This obviously has higher upfront legal technical policy. It makes it clear. It would The PE could describe clearly that the GSA intends to develop and implement a program on some sort of schedule that is specified. And this would be good if the board wants a more developed program package, right? Brought forward in the near term. If this is a high priority for the GSA and we intend to do it, then let's say that. Let's map it out. Okay, so a couple capacity timing considerations, right? Currently, there's not GSA staff funding or consulting capacity to like launch into developing a GSP mitigation program immediately, right now, in 2026. We figure that with dedicated staff and consultant, this is probably a 9 to 12 month process. And I talked a little bit to our kind of co-staff in neighboring sub-basins, and they thought that was reasonable, right? You could form an ad hoc if you want, dive into the details, bring it back. Again, it's like these are the decision points, you know, that we just talked through in terms of eligibility. You just kind of work through it, decide what's what, and put it together. So not easy, but it's a relatively defined space of decision making. So any board direction on this has implications for the 26-27 budget if it's like a thing that, you know, gets tackled in the near term, scope for the next consultant team, and how the periodic evaluation describes this management action, as I've mentioned. Our facilitation support services could be used to help facilitate these conversations and development of the plan, and that would reduce costs. So just a couple of things, Zach. So turning it back over to you all, the Shack, to discuss. If you wish, you can make a recommendation to the board on this to weigh in on which type of program you think would be appropriate to pursue, a trigger-based program or an active program. And should the PE describe a schedule? And if so, what might that be?
First of all, it sounded like this well mitigation program is not required by the state. I believe that's what you stated.
Yeah,
That's
they
correct.
have not told Vina you need to do this. You must do this.
If we did it now, we'd have to hire some consultants to help with this program because you guys are in the process of updating the GSA and I'm sure don't have time.
Yeah, I
If
don't.
it's done later, would we have to hire, we wait till 2027, 2028? Do we at that point, can we do it in-house and not have to hire consultants and save money for the Vina GSA?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think there's certainly more in-house capacity in 2027. There's like
Yes.
no in-house capacity. I think to even manage a consultant in 2026. So yeah, and that's exactly right. The cost implication is dependent on how much you can do in-house and how much you can do with a consultant.
So my opinion is rather than go out and hire consultants to go through this and put more on your shoulders while you're doing the evaluation right now, is we wait and take our time and do it in-house a year or two from now. They had to jump in this now, not unless the Vina GSA 4 is requiring us to do this. I think it just saves money for the Vina GSA overall.
Does the fact that the county has an interim program give us a longer lead time, in your opinion, to develop framework around this?
I'll maybe mention something and then maybe Cami can speak to this. I think it has been the counties in the past, county has provided kind of that interim assistance, right, through water filling stations. Coordination with Cal Water, you know well. And so, yeah, I think from a drought planning process, that interim piece could be covered essentially by drought response through a county drought plan. So it's this longer term mitigation piece that I think is.
So
So for the timing question, yeah, maybe.
and there was all, there's mentioned that all the lab responsibilities between the county and the GSA. GSA. Sorry, throwing under the bus, but what about Tuscan Water District? Do they have any responsibility in that arena? Or is that an optional thing they can choose to implement, or that's just
I'd
outside?
say no, because this is really related to how the GSA is responsible for managing groundwater in the subbasin and whether, like, how they're managing it, right, by the policy they set with MTs drives potential mitigation need. So I think it's kind of GSA in-house.
I'll just add, so the county has its drop program, which is some of these things. We're looking, evaluating domestic wells that have gone dry, especially during the drought, and determining if they needed to be, if they need to be deepened, replaced, etc. That program is already been launched. The people have applied. It's income based. And they're also focusing on areas kind of outside the basin, not to say, I don't know where all the applicants are, but a lot of it is also focused on in burn scar areas in the foothills where it really is drought focused, whereas in the valley, and I maintain this, there is this link between drought and groundwater management in the subbasins. And so it has to be a little different and coordinated with the GSAs because otherwise we could just tell growers to stop pumping and it'll probably alleviate the impacts to domestic wells, but we can't tell growers to stop pumping, right? So there is this link between drought and groundwater management in the valley. Also, the drought resilience plan does have short-term actions. It's in draft form. It'll be going forward to the Board of Supervisors over the next 6 to 9 months. And it does have short-term actions and long-term mitigation. Short-term actions being temporary storage tanks, water filling stations, and such, based on if grant funding is obtained. So when that program was being run during the drought, when the funding was gone, the program stopped. So that's something to keep in mind. And then the county has looked for grant funding for other specific areas like Palermo to connect them to water systems. The long-term mitigation in the drought resilience plan, especially in the valley, does refer to coordinating with the GSAs for implementation of well mitigation.
So if there's not more questions, I'm going to sit down. You guys can discuss amongst yourself, but
Okay.
we're available to answer questions, but it's really back to Gerald.
Yeah, a couple things. One, it's a little bit related. The estimated cost for the, well, 16 million, 14 million. I know that's a maximum, but the percent of wells that can go dry with the current MTs is based on the current MTs. When the current MT, if the current MTs are changed, those percents are going to change, and therefore the costs are going to change for what happens. So, although they seem unrelated, I think they're pretty related. It's like what's going to happen with the MTs for, so what's the in terms of what's the threat to domestic wells? Because once you get into once you get below the MTs, then we're triggering all these other bells. But did the analysis have anything to how those percentages change if the MTs change?
Yes.
Because I think that's probably, I don't know, I'm guessing that's going to happen, that the Vina's MTs are going to change, but at least, how is the well domestic well going to be affected by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just connected all the dots, right,
Right.
that are there. So a future topic will be discussion of groundwater level. So this is groundwater level MTs and monitoring network. And so this is an underlying piece of that discussion. And it does have implications for well mitigation costs. So we're not going to tackle kind of that MT movement
But it is
today, but
related.
this is related to that, and it will come back into the conversation when that topic comes back to you. Yeah.
Sorry. Well, the second part, sorry,
No, that's
is
okay. Yeah.
so I guess on a realistic thing, and this maybe Cammie, maybe I've already answered this. If let's say if Ann's well goes dry next year, what choices would she have? What are her options? What if somebody's well goes dry, what could she do as of right now? And how immediate? So what I'm really after is how immediate is the need for a well mitigation plan in terms of developing a full plan? We got to raise this to high priority, or can it wait? So I'd maybe like to hear from the domestic user representative, and not just income based. What is a average person's what can they turn to right now?
Nothing. Yeah.
That's the then I didn't know that was the answer. I wasn't anticipating that. But if that's the case, then it seems like this has to be raised to a higher level.
I would get temporary supply.
Yeah, if you well,
From drop.
it if well, the drought program right now had the its application period for people to apply. So it, unless we were in a drought and if we were to receive additional funding, a temporary water storage tank, a program would probably be implemented. We're not in drought. So, the drought program right now is what the county has, but it has its applicants and is moving forward with that group of people. So
So
right now,
there's another drought in the future and we don't have funding, then the answer is zero.
Nothing.
Right.
Right.
Right. And also, even on that program, there's the
Income.
80% of the median income, which is
And
something like
would qualify.
62,000, and I would not
Yeah.
qualify for that.
I mean,
And
it's.
incidentally, that's what it would cost me to re replace my well, because I'm in the VOC area.
Right.
So that adds extra expense to cover a number of people. I have a question. What do you think DWR is going to say when you submit a report that says 24 to 32% of domestic wells will go dry at the current MT?
I would venture to guess that they would say demonstrate how that is not significant. And they have said that in other reflection to other things. So if we could say, let's just pretend we say, we being the GSA, we don't think that that's significant. And then they're going to say, well, tell us how 20% of domestic wells going dry isn't a significant number. And then we could say, because we're going to implement a well mitigation program that will repair, deepen wells, replace wells, construct new wells to mitigate that impact, and which is what our neighbors have done. And that's the mitigation for that impact. And they might, and then that is probably fine.
And that's why I would advocate for an active program. There's a couple of reasons. I think we don't know what the weather's going to be like. We don't know how fast groundwater might go down. You can't be having some kind of trigger program because, based on our neighbors and some of the Central Valley programs, it looks like between taking the decision you're going to do it and actually implementing takes about 2 years. And these programs are not retroactive. I'm not sure why they aren't retroactive, but at least in the Central Valley, the two I looked at there, they start like Colusa's also, I think they started working on it or submitted it April 2024 that they were going to do it, but they didn't start paying until January the 1st of this year. So the people whose wells went dry in the last couple of years are left behind, which seems kind of unfair. Actually, the whole thing seems kind of unfair. You know, 90% of the groundwater use is from ag. The domestic well users are using about 1%. All of us are paying electricity to pump the water out of the ground, but the groundwater pumped by ag is at no cost. There's no charge.
Excuse me? I could show you some PG&E bills that went.
No, I said electricity.
Okay.
We all use this, we all are using that proportional amount of electricity. So I agree. I know things are not easy, but I'm sure you use surface water. You pay for the surface water you get. But I just want to say none of us are actually paying for the water that comes out of the ground. But because ag is using so much of the water, ag is 90% responsible for the fall in groundwater levels that are making my well at risk. So I believe that I should not be left high and dry when my well goes dry. I shouldn't be paying 100% of the cost to fix that when I'm only using 1% of the water. And I've sorry to be on a soapbox, but it's unfair. It's unjust. You keep saying this word equity. Do I not get equity too? So there.
So, Anne, are you saying that you would like to develop more of an active program?
Yes, so that in 2 years' time, we are actually ready.
Ready.
Yeah. We could have a 5-year drought appearing. And we wouldn't have any recourse to help domestic well owners mitigate the effects.
So, in developing an active program, would you say, like, you know, one of the things that Christina brought up was that a fee would need to be developed so that we could pay for a consultant to help develop an active program? I'll just say, let's say next year, given capacity of staff as well as consultant, plus we don't have any money to develop an active program right now. So, if a fee, however, to determine the cost of developing an active program, could that be the first step that would be figured into Dylan's budget for the next fiscal year to develop an active program next year that could then be implemented subsequently? I say that because staff doesn't have capacity, and I'm going to say that
nor do we have the funds. I don't think Butte County should be the one to fund developing the program. We could do it in partnership with the GSA, but I'm pretty sure the Board of Supervisors would say, like, why should county staff do it?
Have we done any evaluation? I know you mentioned that we don't have any idea how fast it will drive, but we do. I mean, we have records of severe drought. Do we know how long it would take us in severe drought to get to those minimum thresholds? Yeah, I mean, do we have a good idea?
To get to minimum thresholds? No. But I think to the timing question, right, we hit new historical lows in 2022. That was the third year of a drought. We've now had this is our fourth year of above normal or pretty average conditions. So we've gotten a breather, right? Mm-hmm. Water levels have come up in each of those years. And so we are not near historical lows, and they typically go down kind of slowly. Like the first drought year, they go down a few feet. The next drought year, they go down a few feet. I think it would take another 3 to 5 year drought to hit historical lows again or new historical lows. So we do have a little bit of a breathing space where we're not in 2022 right now talking about like impacts are happening immediately, right, to folks. So as far as the MTs, I mean, the MTs in some places are unreachable, really, physically, I think.
Well, at least when we would expect to start seeing some kind of this.
Yeah, so I think the historical low threshold is relevant to that question. Yeah. So does that help with timing, just in terms of how our basin is dynamic?
Yeah, we have a little bit of a runway to develop a plan.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily have to change the budget, account for it.
Like immediately, yeah.
That's the county to take on.
But it does take time to develop a plan, and we are in a basin that is above historical lows, but not that far away from them.
I would also just wonder that if we're looking at historical data for the levels you're talking about, that's a static point. And our area is continuing to grow, and I think water use should probably continue to increase.
Not really.
No?
Not really. Okay. Not here. It's pretty stable. I think we have a pretty good, better than most understanding of in what type of water year, what the water level is going to do.
Okay.
Just a little bit of background, you know, yeah. For the 9% that we account for at Cal Water, right? You go back 15 years, we were using about 30,000 acre feet a year. Even with all the growth we had, we're at about 23.
Oh, no kidding. Great.
So that demand reduction has really been impactful.
Okay. Super. Thanks.
I have a question. So we were talking about how there's no money right now, but next year. So is that something that would be written into the grant application? Or you said Dylan's budget, is that different than the
either
grant
or
application?
It could be either or. So if we get, there's no guarantee that we'll get grants, right? And I don't know if Prop 4 would actually fund something like a domestic well program. So we should probably plan on charging fees to be able to hire consultants, and then talking about charging fees to be able to implement a well mitigation program long term. We don't have to, like, however millions of dollars an actual well mitigation program would cost. Let's say it's 16 is one of the things that Christina showed. We don't have to collect that all next year, right? It's something that you can have build in the fee into that program and then collect money over the years if there's continued decline. So I think the well mitigation program is going to be based on if there's continued decline in groundwater levels, right? That's what we're mitigating for. If we are stable and hold steady at the measurable objectives, subsequent years, there's not going to be a need to continue to collect a fee for something that we're not having to implement. So there's a balancing act long term. It's not one and done, right? So
could that initial money, though, be part of the grant, you know, to hire the consultant to get the plan in place, and then
I don't know if the grant would pay for mitigation.
We'd also have to look into see, because we just recently did the Prop 226 and see if that's something, if we could fund through there. I mean, it seems like potentially
the 26,
the 26, 226, yes.
The
226. Oh, 26.
Yeah. 26.
And that is something separate from the money that we're talking about in terms of the grant.
And it could be, it's a Cigna compliance fee. It would be a Cigna compliance fee.
Yeah, so we'll just, I would want to just double check with Valerie to make sure that that's something we could do. I think it is, but it would be something we'd have to not only just look at the budget, but see how it would fit into the fee. But I think Cammie's most likely correct in the sense that it is a compliance part.
Yeah, I arrived a few moments late. I apologize for that. I'm Hal Crane, the Rock Creek Reclamation District's alternate check member. So I'm attending today. My comment is that DWR is not shy about corrective actions, and they have not made one at this point. So I think it's premature to move ahead. Given the fact that we just, starting this fee raise or fee requirements and what have you, see how well we live up to our budgets and the economics of that, right? Because it's going to add an additional cost. And with the potential that there possibly could be some assistance from staff to keep the cost down coming up, that's not a long can kick down the road to readdress it. I just think it needs to be readdressed here later than immediate in the next couple of years. And we've got, and like I said, I'd be happy to take it back to our board to agendize it for some discussion on a request and agenda item, the Rock Creek Reclamation District BR cooperation agreement, agendizes a discussion on this to be able to formulate an opinion to pass forward. Thank you.
Well, I think that it's important to take a proactive stance because, like Ann said, you know, all of a sudden we're in drought again and then things are going dry and we're like, oh, well, now we have to form something and now we have to think about it. And then it will be a couple, two or three years. So I think having something ready to go, we'd maybe not launch it because we don't need it. But at least if things start to go south, then we have something to look at to get it set, fixed.
I think if we were to ask people in this room, do we think we're not going to be in a drought again? I think everybody would say, yes, we're going to be in a drought again, I'm guessing. When that happens, yes, it could take 2 to 3 years. But it just seems like when we look around us, everybody seems to have a drought, a domestic well mitigation plan. I'm guessing, in at least from Christina's presentation, Tehama, Colusa, Corning, I don't know if Sutter does down there, but if with Sigma, why are we the ones that, why would we be the ones to at least triggering, at least the triggering possibility? Otherwise, we're kind of looking the other way, burying our heads, whatever, saying, no, we're not going to be affected by a drought, and we don't think a drought's going to be very severe. Right, not severe, but effective. And I'll also go back to the MT's things, as they are related, like I said. And the cost of all this is related to, you know, if you up those MTs, then the cost goes down to look at in terms of a domestic well plan. But I guess more to the point is, it's insurance plan maybe to think of it as, but I wonder the amount of money that would take to pay a consultant. We're not, that's not 16 million, right?
We figure it's like 50 to 100,000 probably.
So it's throwing, as some would say in here, crumbs to the domestic well people that deserve more than crumbs, for one thing. And when you put that amount of money to what's been gone in to help other users, I think it's minimal. And it's an insurance plan. It's a something that will keep a very important part of our water community more happier. And it's something that's, a drought is, I don't know, I'll say it, it's inevitable that it's going to happen. How severe it is, who knows, but droughts are going to happen. At the current MTs, there are going to be a lot of, if those happen in our current MTs, there's going to be a lot of wells. And to me, it seems, because it takes 2 to 3 years to implement it, The costs are fairly minimal to see what one to develop a plan. I think it's more important to keep it up. Yes, not 2026, of course, but to think about it in the budget 27 is practical.
We know how many of the plants that we looked at were required, or how many were it was a proactive stuff.
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, I think when you look at the sub-basin list, they are critically overdrafted sub-basins or sub-basins that have undesirable results.
Yeah, and those were all, most of them, with the exception of Colusa and Tehama, they're all San Joaquin Valley, critically overdrafted basins with significant groundwater level declines, groundwater storage decline, and subsidence.
So what's happening around the world? State funding, thank God.
I mean, I think as with most things, VINA sits in this kind of middle ground, right? I think we can all kind of understand an argument for why the Butte Sub-Basin wouldn't develop a mitigation program at this point, right? Shallow, stable, they don't have declining water levels, they don't hit new historical lows, really, you know.
And they didn't have dry wells in the last drought.
They don't have any dry well, right? So, like, makes sense. VINA sits in this middle ground of like, we don't have undesirable results. We're not in the same category as these other basins that have put in a mitigation program, but we did recently hit historical lows and we are trying to stabilize things, you know? And so I think that for all of these topics, it gives us more wiggle room to take more time, but it is this question of being proactive or less proactive.
So you mentioned that a consultant could cost between 50 and 100,000, and do we have that in the, you know, we're all paying into those fees. Everybody in Chico is paying into those fees because we all have a parcel of something. Is there money in that fund to do that?
So that's what we're saying. That would be a budget implication to the VINA GSA for next year's, for budget planning's happening now for next fiscal year. So, right.
So
So
you
there's
could
not
write that
currently
in.
funding,
No, I
but
know,
it
but
could
for
be part of
next
the
year,
budget.
you could put that into your budget for next year. And it wouldn't have to come from a grant or whatever. We could go ahead and do a preliminary work and get things going.
That's the possibility, yes.
And I think at that point, it'll be a cost savings because staff should have more time to help with the mitigation plan.
Yeah, I think Dylan and Becky would be more available next year.
Yeah, which would cut the cost of everybody paying into this program.
Would it help if the shack put together a little ad hoc committee to help you with anything? Thinking.
I think we're getting ahead of ourselves right now. Let's not talk about how this would happen because we haven't received board direction that this should happen. So let's just talk about what we're looking for. A recommendation for the shack today is whether you want to make a recommendation to say something about this in the periodic evaluation. And what do you want that to say?
Do we say yes or no? Do we raise?
Because remember, there's two or three options. There's say little, say trigger, and then pull
Or
up.
an active program. Like we're going to develop, in the next, and it could be, so as far as a schedule, let me just give you some language options, right? It could be over the next implementation period, which is 5 years, right? Between this periodic evaluation and the next periodic evaluation, over this next implementation period, the GSA intends to develop a well mitigation program. Or it could be stronger and be like, I think we don't want to overpromise, honestly, in the periodic evaluation. So with DWR, we can make other decisions locally, budget-wise and other things, and the board can decide those things. But in the periodic evaluation, I think we want to be give ourselves latitude. That would be one consideration.
How would that look?
That would be something like the GSA will, a light touch would be the GSA will develop as warranted. A little more specific would be the GSA intends to develop a program in this next
I like the
cycle.
second one. Yeah, me too.
Agreed.
But what if it becomes necessary to implement before the next 32?
What if it was the GSA intends to conduct a feasibility study on a well mitigation program periodic evaluation?
I mean, I think it'll cost you is what do you mean? What would that
Well,
look like?
maybe it's not a feasibility, but bringing in the consultants, coming up with an outline without necessarily implementing.
But you'd have something ready to go. So
take steps
have a plan. If there were certain triggers, then you would, we would have a plan to put into place.
Trigger based standby plan.
Sorry, what? We're doing triggers now?
Well, if there was, if we would have a plan, and within that plan, there would be certain things that would trigger action.
It's almost like have get an active plan, but the plan would include triggers, not necessarily that once we hit this point, we will create a mitigation plan, but let's create a mitigation plan that wants, that requires, like, once this trigger is met, these next steps. Is that kind of?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
So this is an action item. You can make, someone can make a motion if you want and bring a recommendation to the board.
So is it, we want
to it, or public comment would be a good thing to do at this point. What are you saying, Susan?
Well, it's either light or more advanced or more, what would be the, what are we voting on?
I guess to build on that, I'm wondering, are we putting a motion of what to put in the periodic evaluation, or are we a motion of what we would like the GSA to start, or at least recommend the board that the GSA to start doing now in terms of let's hire a consultant, let's
that would that. Be next year.
I think either.
That's what I meant next year, yeah. Really? Yeah. So I guess because that's two different things. Right?
Yeah, it's two different.
It's like, what are we gonna? What it's gonna be in the periodic evaluation? Then, but what do we really want to do? Those are two different things. Right?
Well, you think they can do? You can do one, both, or neither.
I'm just trying to paraphrase. Somebody
both, else, and then yeah, and maybe do public comment before you make that kind of motion, and you can use this wording as a guide, but.
But I guess the real question is, should the periodic evaluation, I guess that's what you're really
maybe asking. Focus on the periodic evaluation first. What you right. want to recommend to the board is in the periodic evaluation, and then.
Right.
What's the difference between a trigger-based standby or an active program path? Does that mean the active program mean we're going to implement it right now? And
it means you would. You would answer all these questions. You would draw. You would figure out who would be eligible, how it would work. Some funding mechanism, you would figure out what your program would be and it would be ready to be active to receive applicants. A trigger based is less than that. You would maybe figure out some of those things, but, or maybe you wouldn't tackle any of that and you would just say, hey, we're going to start that process when new historical lows are reached or when whatever your trigger, your condition is. Yeah,
this is good. Thank you.
So I could make a motion to approve.
I think you should take public comment first.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Any public comment? Yes.
Greg Brisline. I sense once again, and I've been coming back to this for over a year, that somehow in these discussions, the factor of time seems to get sanguine treatment, and we're lucky that we have this wet year and arguably a snowpack, but to hear that we might put it off because of a consultant cost, we might put it off because of X, Y, or Z, you're hearing from citizens that have wells that this ought to be an active program. Now, what does the trigger approach, what happens? Well, it sounds like Rock Creek will have it on their agenda. It sounds like we'll all meet and confer. And what month or year will that be? And I want to look at time as almost like a political factor. The people that want to put things off are making a political decision. The ones that say, let's get an active program, do what we can, help the board, we're a shack, and let's use that time. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yes. I live on Kiefer Road. My name is Ted Sandrowski, and Kiefer Slough grows through my property. But I'm going to give you an example. The lady over here in the white was talking about the ag and the domestic well. I'm a retired landscape contractor. I was in the business for over 50 years. I did a job down on Garden off of on the east side of Lot Road, okay, in Durham. And there's a fairly good sized orchard there. And the owner of the orchard, I don't know how he was irrigating before, but he put in a solid set irrigation system, okay, new well, new everything. And the owner called me and said, "Hey, the lawns are drying up, my landscape's drying up." He says, "When that guy's irrigating, I don't have any water." Okay. Well, his wa well to do that orchard was sucking water away from their well. And consequently, they had to go in and drill a deeper well just because of the ag situation next door to him. Okay. And what he had put in, which was a solid set, Durham put it in for him in a new well. The real problem is, and you're talking about these wells, is when I first came back to Chico from Cal Poly, I lived on off of Garner Lane, and my well went dry. Try and get a well driller in a drought when it goes dry, okay? That aquifer dried up. All those wells that were in that aquifer had to be redrilled and redone, okay? So my solution to part of this problem would be, and my question is how are you going to recharge that aquifer that dried up? There are solutions to doing that, I think, okay? But it seems like we don't want to approach a solution to recharge that upper aquifer, which is totally dry, and let that aquifer soak into the aquifer before. That's all part of the Tuscan aquifer, okay? And if you go up Meridian Road, I've been out there a long time, and I took my wife out for her birthday to, this is going to crack you up, to the Vina Cemetery. And said, "Well, happy birthday. We're going to read headstones." Anyways, going out Meridian, I was surprised how much more orchard was put in since I've been out there years and years ago, going toward the Tame County line. And that's ag situation, that's new wealth out in that area. And so I'm trying to figure out, I don't think a lot has changed in the Durham area, Chico area, but why that water level has come down so much.
Thank you.
According to this, 18 to 20, 37%, yeah, that seems like a lot to me. But it doesn't seem like there's that much more development going on in that area. So I'm trying to figure that one out too, why that would drop like that.
Okay. Any other comments?
Pardon?
Your name again, sorry.
Go ahead,
Sandra. Go
Sorry.
ahead.
Claudia Rollins. So Cal Water has a sort of demand reduction process, which is increase the rates. In other words, pay for the water. And one of the issues that I hear typically when we talk wells is how much it costs. But compared to getting your water from Cal Water, it doesn't, as Ann says, it doesn't cost anything. The water doesn't cost anything. So I hope we, if it's an insurance kind of plan, I hope nobody is arguing against, oh, everybody has to pay another $20 a year. I've tried getting your water from Cal Water. It's not free.
Well, I would, my place, your PG&E has gone up, your well comes on, and for doing
Okay.
your landscape, you're paying more.
We're not going to get out of hand here. Share any other comments from the public?
Yeah, I've got a quick comment. I just want to make a couple comments, and I'm here today, I guess, partly with a Water Commission hat on and partly with a AGBC hat on. And my first comment's really more about context, and then my second comment's probably around timing. I can see how it would seem like, to Greg's point, things are political. I guess from my perspective, I try not to start from a political perspective. I try to look from the data. It's a hyper-partisan environment that we live in these days, and so I can see how it might look like that. But let me just, one of the things that I don't hear in this analysis, and appreciate the work Christina's done and the consultants to LWA. When you look at potential wells impacted, and they came up with methodology, they used the 2022 methodology, they came up with a new methodology, and that shows the potential for 24 to 32% of wells impacted. I think, and I don't see this in the analysis, but I start from what the actual impact has been over the last 35 years. Like we've gone through three severe droughts, 92, 90, 91 to 93, 2014, 2012 to 2015, and 21, 22. And over the past 12 years, right, that includes 2014, 2015, 21, and 22, we've seen 30 wells go dry. Not 400, not 500. We've seen 30 wells go dry. And so if I were to, and again, we're moving quickly now through these different topics of the plan evaluation. So it's not like we've had months to look at all this. But if I were to try to put together like the lower bound, I would be looking at what's gone dry. We've stress tested it over the last 35 years. What's gone dry and why? Like, and I looked at the 2023 three wells that went dry in 2023. One of them was 55 feet, you know, built in the 70s. And there's probably a few more like that. But I'm just saying that from my perspective, I don't hear a lot of no well mitigation, no way. What I hear is like we're not in crisis. You know, we are in the third, potentially fourth or fifth year of average or above average year types from precipitation in this. And the last time that happened was the late 90s. And in the late 90s, we got all the way back up to a full subbasin. And many of us see that anecdotally. So I guess from a context perspective, I think there's time to do it right. Okay, so let me just talk real quickly about timing. And I know I'm talking to you for a little bit. In the plan evaluation, I do think we should lay out a framework with timing for how we're gonna refine the data and develop the program by 2032. I think we should spend time in early 2027 after the plan evaluation process is done to further research and compare approved domestic well mitigation programs in the Central Valley to identify. I think this is work that staff could do. I'm not saying we would need to bring a consultant in for portions of it, but I think there's a lot of work that's already been done that we could piggyback off of to try to reduce that overall cost. So I think we could do work at the beginning of 2027. And then I think you could look at budget in 2027, 2028, which is essentially the 28 water year. I know it sounds weird, but it really starts in October of 2027 and goes through September of 2028. And that 12-month frame or that period there, you could go through table one in the staff memo with all these policy issues and really get everybody to buy it. I mean, this is the next major financial commitment that this subbasin's going to make. And I think there's stakeholders on both sides of this that want to participate in a process that we're not dealing with in 5 days, right? We're going to deal with it over a period of time. And I think there's a way to do it cheap. I don't think people are saying no mitigation plan, but I think people are saying, look, we've been through three droughts and the subbasin has recovered each time. So let's not act like we're in crisis. We're not, but we still want to be responsible and live sustainably. So anyway, that would be my thought on timing as well. So thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
I was just curious, where did you pull the 30 wells number from? Like, is it from environmental health or?
No, it's from the state dry well program.
So there's a gap in reporting because wells reported to environmental health don't get reported to the DWR.
I think that may or may not be true.
I've been down there and talked to them.
Okay.
They're asked to report. And during the drought, actually, Kelly reached out to all the people that did approach environmental health about getting permits, and she actually listed people on the states. So, I mean, there is a discrepancy in number, but
let's say we're 30 to 40. Yeah, we're not at 400 to 500.
Right.
I guess that's my point.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, I just wanted to say one thing. Okay, so we've come back up each time, but Even so, we're still going down by 20,000 acre feet per year, right? Isn't that what we're coming up short, 20,000 acre feet every year?
Not every year. That's the average. So it goes up sometimes, it goes down sometimes.
Uh-huh.
The average is 20,000 acre.
Okay.
But the last 4 years has not been that. The last 4 years, it's stabilized.
Okay.
We also have some projects we're working on that are going to possibly help with that, which hopefully will be implemented at some point. What I'm hearing is, I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't want to see some type of well mitigation plan. But do we jump in right away? Do we wait till we have, you know, when you guys get done with this GSP evaluation, where staff has more time to put this in? I'm not saying let's not do it. I'm saying let's, Toby said, let's take our time and do it right. And we can get a lot of it done by staff.
So are you advocating for a trigger-based system?
I think that's something that we need to, that's part of the discussion we'll have, is what type of a mitigation. I don't think we're going to solve that today.
I thought we were supposed to make a recommendation.
That's his opinion. You don't have to solve that today.
Okay. I think Toby actually stated it well. What we state is that during the next periodic evaluation period, we are going to work to develop a framework for a mitigation plan that fits the needs of this basin.
And doesn't say we'd have to take 5 years to do it.
No.
We can get started when the Vina GSA board says we need to, but when I feel that staff has some more time, because this year you guys are pretty well booked up.
So you're saying that we would, you're talking about the trigger-based standby framework. Is that it? Or the
active? In my mind, that's still something that's determined by back from the consultant, right? Like what? We haven't done that evaluation yet on whether that makes more sense or an active program makes more sense right now. But we can sit here and make a recommendation. Is it based on, you know, evidence, facts? No, it's our opinions, right?
Yeah.
So I think until we have that data, it's hard to really determine what makes the most sense, right? We might all have that.
And would that data be what comes out of the final report of all the different projects that we've done this year with all the
people? In my mind, that's why we would be hiring a consultant or leading on staff for both. I think those options, pros and cons.
Go ahead, Tom.
What about the possibility of in the PD, kind of using the language that we were talking about, next 5 years, but I would propose asking the board to okay the idea of moving ahead with it next year, start getting the consultant ready so we're not putting stress on the staff this year. I get that. You do the PE, it's due in January 27. Use calendar year 27 to start the action plan, start the at least get the consultants to think about what this action plan is going to be like. Because inevitably we're going to need an action plan, I think. And I think we're kicking the bottle down the road if we're thinking that we're not going to need it. That get this started sooner than later. That would be my. It's I fear that if we just kind of, we don't really need it. We don't really need it. Then it's just going to get moved to next year, the next year, to the next year.
Then we need it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's either we care about the worst case scenario for domestic users, or we don't. And I think we should care about domestic users in the worst case scenario. Because I think droughts are in our future. I don't think I'm the only one thinking that it's that there's going to be more droughts than not, but in the future.
I agree with what John says, I understand we can't do this this year, but I'd like to see it as early next year, get going with it. Because experience in other basins is that it takes 2 years. So if we get started in January of 29, we're not going to be helping domestic well users until, sorry, we start in 27, it'll be January 29 before there's any help available. If you use the trigger thing, then you're postponing that even further. I mean, in some ways, this is like the big against the little person. And I just think this is so unfair to be treated this way. And I know it's going to cost a lot of money, but there's also a pretty simple way of reducing that. And that is to say, we're not going to do agricultural wells, and we're going to raise the MTs. You raise the MTs, tons of these wells will be protected, and you don't have to raise as much money.
I just want to make a little note. It's not quite on that comment, but just a clarification in regards to budget and how it works, because I heard you say calendar year. Just so you know, we do it by fiscal year, so from July 1st to the June 30th. So I think generally what we do in our budget is we have a little bit of funds for professional services that we could put aside. But just so you know, if it comes to any like big budget we need to add, we would have to add it at the next one. But I do think that if that was something that you want, that or it would be possible. But just so you know, any big moves on that one would have to wait until we had the money come up. But again, staff capacity, if it's more there, would be able to start it. So, well,
but I think you're
also, just that expectation.
I think you're also illustrating why it takes so long to get these programs up and running, even though you said you're going to do it.
Yeah. You have to have
committed to it. Yeah.
So I would recommend that we have this recommendation for the periodic evaluation, whatever it is. In the next 5 years, the GSA will work to develop a well mitigation program and action plan that may include triggers for when we take action. So there's whatever that looks like. I'm just throwing some words out there. The next part of it could be separate from the periodic evaluation. Then the SHAC also recommends that the board set aside, I'm just going to make up a number, $50,000 to be included in the 27-28 fiscal year's budget for retaining a consultant to start with developing this framework in collaboration with staff. I think 50,000 is a good place to start because Dylan and Becky will have more time next fiscal year to do that in working with either 50,000 for a consultant or 50,000 because we got to pay for staff somehow too. The county can't pay for Becky and Dylan. So there needs to be, for Becky's time, to be able to work on that. So that could be a separate recommendation about how we want, how the SHAC feels that it needs to move forward so that Dylan can put it in as her ad hoc moves forward with developing next year's budget. Those funds won't come in until the spring of, or until January of 2027 anyway, because of the way the fees are collected. So there's that. When that gets developed, we got this action plan. Part of it might look at how many wells are going to go dry and the cost of the program, and that could be incorporated into subsequent fees so that by the time we're doing this periodic evaluation again in 2031 for submittal to 2032, you have your fully baked mitigation program. Hopefully we haven't had a drought yet, or we might be going into a drought because it is inevitable. And you have a program in place. But that part can all be separate from what needs to be done right now, which is what do we want to recommend to the board in terms of the periodic evaluation?
I like that warning.
Yeah. Yeah. Write all that down.
Sorry. Can I just ask one clarifying question? So a trigger-based standby pad triggers to actually develop the framework of a plan, or we would already have a general framework and the triggers would force us to actually budget for it and implement
it. I think it could be either one.
I think that's where I was getting a little bit.
I think it could be either. You could, like Dylan said, you could have triggers. I think it makes sense to have triggers in how you fund it within an established active program, or you could just have triggers to say, we're going to track these things and then we're going to start doing a putting together a program when this hits.
Because I think we're generally on the same page. Maybe I haven't heard from everyone. I agree that within the next few years, we should start developing the plan, right? Or at least a value.
Should start. Well, not, you mean.
Yeah, we should set aside the funding to develop the framework for the plan. Right?
Yeah,
for a well mitigation plan.
Like next year, next fiscal
year. Whether it's 26, 27, 27, 28, I've thrown a pretty couple different numbers thrown around.
Fiscal year 26, 27 would be, like, you should have funding in January 24 to start working
on the plan.
Yeah. So you want it this coming year. So that's how the
$1,000 in your
budget. In this current upcoming budget is what you would recommend.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry. Can I make one comment? You keep using the word start. We'll start to do a plan. And I wish you wouldn't put the word start. I just wish you would put plan.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's like. Because it can start and then just kind of languish.
To clarify, what I mean by start is engaging with a consultant to formally begin those efforts.
Right? I mean, plan development, you have to at some point start plan development. And it's going to be, we think, a 9 to 12 month process. And then at the end of that year, you have a plan in place. It may be more time to have funding in place.
But that plan, it would be done at the end of 2027. So as Dylan goes into the spring of 2028, and if we say we're in drought, we know that maybe 30 wells might go dry. Then we calculate the cost of funding that part of the plan. And that's what goes into her 28-29 budget. I can plan it out for the next till 2042 if you guys want, but that's the timing is perfect.
Are any of us capable of getting that in a coherent motion?
I don't know. So since I'm doing the minutes, maybe I'll let you know what I heard and then you can steal that from me. So I have for the plan evaluation, the SHAC recommends that in the next implementation period, that the GSA will create a well mitigation framework.
Okay.
Program. To develop a framework for a well mitigation.
Framework. You had said develop a framework mitigation that fits the needs of the sub-basin.
And it's for the periodic evaluation.
Yes, for the periodic evaluation.
You have this last one.
So GSA will work to develop a framework for mitigation that fits the needs of the sub-basin.
No, I want you to say that you work on to produce a program, not a framework.
A well mitigation program.
We'll yes. Develop a well mitigation program.
And that action plan.
And
well,
action plan.
I think the program can include all things.
Will it include triggers?
It could.
Action plan or including
implementation.
Possibly including triggers.
You have a plan. Yeah, and then have potential triggers, because you let's say you didn't have drought between now and 2022.
Right. I think that can be in the plan and program.
The only trigger is that somebody has a dry domestic well.
Not necessarily, because most of these plans, I'm just going to say most of these plans, existing mitigation programs include dry well due to groundwater level declines or an area of overdraft. So it is linked to conditions in the subbasin and how the subbasin is being managed. Okay. I just want,
Is that a motion that you want to vote on?
I'm motioning for
it. What did you want to say and make a motion?
Yeah.
Say it again, please.
Okay. The SHAC recommends that the plan evaluation.
Periodic
evaluation. In the next implementation period, we'll create a well mitigation program that fits the needs of the basin. Did I get that right? Yeah.
Is that your motion?
I'll motion.
Is there a second?
Aye.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Then the second part of the motion.
Make a second motion.
Was to advise the GSA board.
Advise the VINA GSA board to
put aside funding in the upcoming budget for the
to start the well mitigation
for the plan. Initiation of a well mitigation plan.
Do you have to put a dollar amount in there, or just?
I don't think.
Yeah,
we should put a dollar
amount. Dedicate funding in the fiscal year 2026-27.
That's going to be discussed among the under permission.
Here, let me write it down first, and then I'll. You can give me 30 seconds. Advise the board to set aside funding in the fiscal year 26-27 budget to initiate a well mitigation program.
Can I make
what did you say?
To initiate.
In Earth. Did you say something about time?
You may want to.
I just put funding.
And this isn't a delay. This is, you may want to make it 26-27 or 27-28. Here's the reason. 26-27 will be half over by the time we get to January. So you may want that 50 grand for 27-28, so you have a full year to do that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the budget decision right now is for the immediate, and then they'll take that up in the next budget. But you're saying like the dollar amount.
But you won't get the money,
you'll get,
right?
If they put it in the 26-27 fiscal year, they'll get the money in the spring of 27, January of 27.
That's my point.
And then they can, and then staff is free because the periodic evaluation has been.
That's my point, but that money would then, you wouldn't have that money for 27-28 necessarily, I guess, or maybe you just
roll it over.
If, yeah.
But if you want to initiate in 27, you need it in this fiscal year budget.
Need it in this fiscal year, in the 26-27.
I was trying to get back to what I was saying, where there's work that we could do. Anyway, yeah. That's more public comment, so I'll just stop. Without spending extra, but still have that money lined up for 27.
Over if you don't,
yeah, need. and maybe that's the other alternative.
Okay, so the recommendation, you can change this, but here's potential language. Recommend the GSA board dedicate funding in the 26-27 fiscal year budget for initiation of planning process in early 2027.
Well mitigation plan.
Yeah, initiation of well mitigation program. Early 2027.
Okay.
Does someone want to make that motion?
I'm just worried about the way it's initiation of a well mitigation program. In my mind, that's like almost like implementation.
Okay.
As opposed to a planning.
Planning process. Yeah. Initiate planning for well development of a initiate planning.
That's, I like that better. Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
No second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
And I'm just going to confirm this was to recommend that the board dedicate funding in the fiscal year 26-27 budget to initiate to initiate the planning for the development of a well mitigation program in early 2027. It's a mouthful. Cool. And then that was Evan, you made the motion, and Todd, you made the second.
Okay. Let's move on to item 7. If this is going to take a lot of time, I have to take a break in the parking meter. Or you can get this done.
Almost 5 minutes.
5 minutes? That'll work.
My program just went. All right. So. Program manager's report. I'm back. I was away for a while. So, in regards to what's coming up, right now we are working on the fiscal year 26-27 budget and fees that will be coming in May. So we'll be presenting that budget in May to the board, and they will either approve it there or they'll make recommendations, and we'll finalize that in June and get everything on the tax roll. So, that's what's coming up. RFP for Vina GSA Sigma. Sigma implementation on support services. So we are, so as some of you know, we will no longer be, the funding from DWR for the Sigma grant is going to be expiring soon. Most of the funding left is for the GSP evaluation. So with that, with we're kind of going to be transitioning from these grants to kind of a new normal for the Vina GSA. So with that comes getting new consultants and having them kind of take over those annual reports, periodic evaluations. So the hope is that we're going to post that either late, at the end of next week or a little bit afterwards. So it should be coming soon, and our goal would be to have this team of consultants ready at the end of September so that we go into October ready for those annual reports. All right. All right. Board alternate for the non-agricultural domestic well stakeholder representative. So Claudia Rawlings, who was our alternate board member in the Vina GSA for the non-agricultural domestic well, has resigned. Thank you, Claudia, for your service and for all of the time and commitment you put to the GSA. It's really appreciated having you come to all these meetings. You did the work. So we will be starting a new recruitment process to get somebody. It's going to look very similar to last time. So we work with the county in order to get applications, make sure that they're qualified, sign an affidavit to make sure that they are there, and then the county is really in charge of that process, but we as the GSA help with recruitment. So if you happen to know anybody who is a domestic well user who would want to take that position, please let them know, and I will be, just like on the emails, those will be coming out to the subscriber list. So if you know anyone, you can always forward it to them. And Claudia has been really great in offering anybody who would like to know more about the division. She'd be happy to meet with them. Then, I'm having more pictures, sorry. And then in regards to next meetings, the library is getting renovated in Chico. So we might have the next meeting at the library, but we'll most likely be having a new location at the end of the year. So keep out for that. I'm curious because I sent out the email and I tried to make it really clear that there was a change. Did everyone get that, like, yes, right away? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I was like, okay. So then, yeah, that is my program manager's update.
Okay.
Did you go to
Thank
time?
You.
That is the Philippines.
Okay, we will move on to the item 8.
Wait, I have a question. On the first thing you said, that's when all the reports are going to come due. And are we going to get a final overview of all the different feasibility projects and what their outcome was, like what the cost is per acre feet for this project or that project, and get all that to us so we can look at it?
So you got project recaps for the two that finished last meeting, demand reduction and Lindo Channel. You're going to get a recharge recap in June. And then one of the topics is projects and management updates as part of the periodic evaluation. And I think that would be the topic that would bring kind of all the things together maybe in one place.
And then will we have an opportunity to comment on which ones we think are the best, or is that going to be a decision made at a different level?
Yeah.
By the board or by you folks, or the board maybe with your input, or will we have like a chance to weigh in on all of this?
There's not necessarily a need to prioritize projects, which is kind of what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
For the periodic evaluation. So we don't need to do that for that. Typically when that has really happened is when grant funding, like through a grant funding application process occurs. But you can discuss the projects under that project and management action item and make recommendations.
So then the real writing is at the beginning of January of next year, right? 2027, is that when that next application for grant money will be put together?
I think we'll have more details on schedule soon, but the latest that I've heard is early 2027 for grant applications.
Okay, and yeah, then that would be the time to look and see which projects really have the most bang for their buck kind of thing.
Yeah, so our thought is that we'll have more of those conversations in the back half of this year. Yes.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Good. Move on to item 8. Is there any SHAC member? SHAC members may verbally request item to be agendized. Is there any check member that wants an item agendized?
This is not really the right place, but I noticed Mr. Crane is here and he's had experience with Tehama GSA and well registries, and I know that's a topic that's coming up, and so I really like to hear how that went.
The well registry
process. Is that okay?
Well,
like as a future agenda item or right now?
Agenda item.
Well, it's here today. That's the thing.
It's not on the agenda, so,
we can't do it. Maybe I can talk to you later.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Are there any chat members that have anything they want agenda put on the agenda? It will need to be voted on by the committee.
About the well registry, like what kind of process would that entail? Like, there's a lot of wells. I know, Ryan, you went out and tried to figure out where all the wells were and everything. Is that something that we would need more information about, or that we could agendize and have a... Because it can be kind of tricky to figure out where everybody is. You found that out.
My thought is that the well registry conversation will be part of that domestic well mitigation program planning.
Okay.
So it would be taken up as part of that, yeah.
All right. Any other agenda requests?
Sorry. Maybe we could just figure it out right now, but as an impossible agendizing, what's going to happen with the MT proposal for the PE? Where are we with that?
Yeah, so I think maybe you missed the deadline update, which is basically between May and August. Okay. We'll be bringing specific topics.
Okay.
I'm going to give us more time before I bring that one.
Okay.
So that hopefully we're going to put out some information for digestion and discussion over the next 2 months, I would say. And then it will come to you probably in June.
Great.
Okay, good.
I was seeing them. We'll adjourn.
Go move your car.
What's that?
Go move your car.
Yeah, I know the city cut me off.